Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to A Few Things, where we give our greatest discoveries the podcast they deserve. I'm Claire Mazur.
And I'm Erica Cerullo.
This show is brought to you by Of A Kind. Find out more and sign up for our newsletter at ofakind.com.
Do it.
Do you think that's our new jingle, ofakind.com?
No. It sounds like it could be a jingle.
Yeah.
The only time...
I said com kind of strangely, which I think is what's going to make
it
catchy.
.com.
Yeah, that was good. Thank you.
What are you excited about these days?
Something where I'm excited about is books, Claire.
Yes.
Something I'm excited about is books. So, you know, the A Few Things, reading things.
Controversy?
Controversy.
Yeah.
I think that's the best word for it, for sure. So we had the book club. People had really mixed feelings about the book club. They felt a lot of pressure to participate or whatever with the book club. Here's what I'll say about the book club. We are good at picking books.
We are very good at picking books.
So Tiari Jones, who wrote Silver Sparrow.
And came on and did, was,
and
one,
just was
one of my favorite
goddamn gem. Oh my gosh.
So good.
Wonderful. Her most recent book, which is coming out this month, I think, or just came out, American Marriage, is the new Oprah Book Club pick.
And it's part of like a trilogy, basically. All of the books she's written are connected. So if you read Silver Sparrow as part of the Reading Things Book Club,
you
then
can pat yourself
you can
on the back
graduate to Oprah's
you,
book club.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
I think American Marriage is sort of meant to be almost like a precursor to Silver Sparrow. I can't remember.
The characters are all like connected to each other,
exactly.
But the storyline doesn't follow,
right.
I think, in a linear way.
You don't need to read them all.
No.
But you
no.
can know that they're all in the same universe.
Exactly. She's like weaving a whole little world here. It's like Marvel DC comics.
That's exactly right. as much as I understand that.
Yeah, same.
Also, The Miseducation of Cameron Post, which is another Reading Things book club pick. We knew at the time we discussed it was being turned into a movie, and it just premiered at Sundance, and it won the grand jury prize, the big kahuna,
yeah.
Is that what they
yeah,
say?
I think so. I think that goes by that often.
The big fish, yeah. The big kahuna, who knows?
The great white whale.
That's
yeah. Yeah, totally.
I am very excited to see the movie version.
Absolutely. Same.
Pretty thrilled.
So because we're not doing this book club anymore, we thought maybe this was an opportunity instead to share books that we're excited about that are coming out relatively soon that we've pre-ordered or, you know, have in our library queues or whatever.
I didn't know we were only doing books that weren't out yet. I broke the rules a little bit. I have one in here that came out in January.
I think that's fine.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate your flexibility.
Yeah. I think that's totally fine.
Thanks.
And I feel like the one that you have on your list is just, you know, is just really starting to get buzz.
That's
so
right.
It's like new to everyone. Do you want to start with that one?
Sure. Now that
okay.
we've hyped it up so much. So this book has been out in Europe and in France specifically for, I don't know, a year or two. But the American version just came out. There was an English.
New to us.
New to us. So in January, The Perfect Nanny by Leila Slimani was released. And this thing was having like Gone Girl levels of fame in France, which is where the author is from. It won the Prix Goncourt, which is their big book prize, which is usually awarded to like older books. But they were like, this one's so good.
It's so good. We just got to give it to it. Yeah.
So I'm not spoiling anything because it starts with the big event, which is about a nanny who kills these babies who are her charges. It is very loosely based / inspired by an actual story that happened in New York of a nanny who killed two of her the children she was caring for. At first, I had enough Law & Order SVU-style distance from this to be like, whatever, like, I love a thriller so much. I will say that as I was reading the news yesterday morning and a news story about the actual trial popped up because the trial is actually happening now.
Yeah,
it happened a year or two ago. And I read the article and it is so
devastating
that it made me like it made me kind of not want to go back and finish the book. I'm going to.
That's interesting because I feel like when you first told me about this book, at first I was like, I don't want to I have no interest in reading this. Like, I just don't like thrillers that much. Yeah. I don't like these like really dark, just sort of like murderous stories. I know. And then I feel like the more I hear about it, and I heard an interview with the author on the High Low.
Yeah, really
which was really fantastic and compelling. And I just really bought into the author listening to her there. And like, it made me think, it just made me think more about what this book was about, which was about like womanhood and career, and what it means to have a nanny, what it means to be a nanny, and the relationship. But the way that relates to immigration and all of these things that I hadn't necessarily thought about as much.
It's very much about class. It's very much about immigration. Like you said, it's very much about the woman's changing role as a working mother, which is part of what is so devastating about it. And in this like brief news article about it, really got to the heart of all of that.
Yeah.
In a way that's totally devastating, but so far, it's really good. I first discovered it via Megan O'Connell's Twitter, who is a wonderful person to follow on Twitter and Instagram.
We had her on this podcast at one point.
That's right. And I also recommended the interview that you mentioned on The High Low.
I feel like one of my books is a potential companion book to this one. It's called That Kind of Mother by this guy, Ruman Alam, who I just love. I feel like I've been following his magazine writing for years. But he wrote his first novel a year and a half, 2 years ago, maybe, called Rich and Pretty. The title and the like cover art make it seem like it is a different book than it is. That book, it is much more like thoughtful than it's like, it has art of two women's legs.
Yes.
And that makes me think of a very specific thing. And it is like more complicated than all that. And it is about a adult female friendship that started as a childhood friendship and just the complicated nature of, you know, of growing a relationship, of evolving a relationship. But his new book is about a white mother who just has, you know, her first baby and hires a black nanny. And I don't think this is giving anything away either. The nanny has a child of her own and dies during childbirth. And the woman who had hired her adopts that baby. And so it's about.
Wow.
Yeah. Right.
This is some intense shit we're getting into.
Yeah. Don't these feel like they could or should be read side by side?
They truly do. Like, truly do. Issues of race, class, motherhood, nannyhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super interesting conversations around all of this. It's also It reminds me of the puff piece that was in, I don't know if it's a puff piece, maybe I shouldn't call it that. I don't even think I read it. That was in the New York Times about the nanny-o, the nanny cameo of nanny showing up on social media,
which
actually like is a relevant thing to talk about, which is where like, you know,
people demonstrating that they're not in it by themselves, that they do have people helping them achieve this life that it looks like they're, you know, could.
Exactly. Like issues of like, is there like shame around this either because it indicates a certain level of class or because it indicates that you're not like a good mother if you have a nanny or whatever. It definitely, I will say that, it is so much more than just a murder. Both of these are, it's like more than, there's a lot more than just the murder there.
Yeah. Well, the other
was, the other one's not a murder. Yeah. Fine.
Totally. Totally. Fine. Ruman's book comes out in May. And the other book coming out in May that I just started reading that we got the galley of from Riverhead, which is just such a great publisher. And I trust pretty much everything they put out, is a debut novel by this woman named Aja Gable. And it's called The Ensemble. And it is about a string quartet and they who are just like getting out of conservatory and the complicated relationships between them. So there are two men and two women, and one of the men and one of the women are in and out of a relationship with each other. And like, you know, there's sort of like complicated dynamics that, it's good so far. And I don't care much about string quartets broadly. So,
as a topic.
You know, exactly. Exactly. So the writing's really good, though.
My other book that hasn't come out yet, the one that I did play
Here
by
we
the
go.
Rules
okay.
and said, look at me, I know about a book that hasn't come out yet, is Emergency Contact by Mary H.K. Choi. I love Mary's writing. She writes for a lot of magazines and on the internet a lot. And she's just a really sharp,
compelling personality.
Sharp, funny, witty.
Did she write that letter of recommendation years ago for LaCroix?
Exactly. Yeah, that's one of her most notable pieces.
Which is a column for New York Times Magazine. Yeah. And it's just people writing about like something that they're obsessed with. Yeah.
That's right. She wrote this romance novel. It's a YA romance novel called Emergency Contact. That's as much as I know about it, but that's all I needed to know about it, because in addition to being a fan of hers, I recently discovered that I really like romance novels, which was
a
great comfort to me, because it made me realize that it's not just that I like 50 Shades of Grey.
I think we
meaning you, Chris, me, everybody in my life has struggled with this reality.
Grapples with the fact that you like 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
And so then I read this other romance novel called The Wedding Date. Also got really into it. And
that it's a genre thing.
That's how I felt. Yeah. I was like, oh, so it's not. And listen, like, I also my husband had liked assholes a lot. So I was like, well, that's why I like 50 Shades of Grey, because this guy's an asshole. So I was like, oh, that's what it is. But no, I think I just like a love story. And
I like a love story, too.
Yeah.
And I think that this book actually, I don't love romance novels as much.
Okay.
But I do love YA.
Yeah, so this
and
could
I love
be
a YA romance. Yeah. So this could be something for me too.
So
there could be something in this for both of us.
I'm building out my romance novel repertoire like a year after we interviewed a romance novel bookstore podcast. I'm finally really discovering my genre, and I'm excited to share my journey with the A Few Things audience.
Another thing I want to talk about before we move on is something I'm obsessed with on Of a Kind lately. So we've been putting together these little kits of personal care products, and one that I'm especially psyched on is the outdoor kit, mostly because I feel like the things that we have in it are very hard things to find good, like relatively good for you versions of. So it includes the Unsun Cosmetics tinted mineral sunscreen, which we had the founder of Unsun on podcast a couple weeks ago, Katanya Bro, who's amazing.
She really is.
The Jiao Refresher, which is like fancy Purell.
Yep.
That I also use on pimples. So, you know, the St. Olio Body Refresher in Neroli, which is like a body splash in like a 2018 way.
That's right.
You know, you know body splashes.
Totally.
You know body splashes.
It
it's
is
not
good
freesia scented.
No.
Or
juniper berry.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or raspberry vanilla or whatever.
God,
yeah.
Stop.
I couldn't even tell you.
I'm getting ahead.
Cucumber
just
melon.
About it.
And the thing I think I'm most excited about, the Cold Spring Apothecary Bug Spray. This bug spray smells amazing.
It does smell really good.
Which is not something I've ever said about a bug spray before.
Yeah.
But it feels like all the right kind of stuff to be like getting on hand as we move out of cold weather, because that's going to happen eventually.
Very soon. Well, people are going on spring break.
Totally. And they're like planning like hiking trips and camping. And I don't know, the people that do more outdoorsy things than me.
That's right.
Yeah. So if you would like to try this thing out, get it for 10% off with the code A Few Things.
So we have been getting a lot of listener feedback, follow up commentary lately
on some of the things we talk about on the podcast.
Yes. And then we also solicited some questions from people, because we decided we're just going to do a whole section of this podcast on it.
Mailbag.
But the one topic that incited so much commentary that we just did not expect was flossing.
Yeah, flossing. People have a lot of thoughts, and I just didn't see it coming.
Neither did I. You guys really have a lot of thoughts on flossing, and I'm here for it.
And tips and tricks, not even just thoughts, because I think the general thoughts were we should do this and we should do it more. But here's how we can do it.
Well, flossing really is one of those things that, I mean, there's lots of other things out there like it, but I think it just hangs over people's heads, you know, in a really big way from the
time they are. And if you do it regularly, you feel really virtuous. Yeah. It's like a very, it's a 3-minute way to feel virtuous.
That's right. There you go. So should we read some of these?
Yeah.
So if you'll recall, for those of you who did not listen to our own, to whenever we talked about this, I recently adopted a water pick.
Team water pick.
And Erica recently found a
Team Coco Floss.
Yeah, chic floss, dental floss called Coco Floss.
Yeah. We can get those printed on t-shirts. You could be just Team water pick and I could be Team Coco
Floss. I'm into it.
Yeah, totally.
I think this so we got comments about all of them. So Bronwyn writes, I have a really tight jaw and flossing has always been super unbearable. You know what, Bronwyn? I don't have a super tight jaw and flossing has always been unbearable for me. I would cut off my finger's circulation by like 2-3. Same. I use a water pick, but I was also advised by my dentist to actually get up in there with floss at least a few times a week for the sake of gum health. This was my concern. This was what I didn't want to hear.
Yeah, totally.
I sensed
Bronwyn,
that. I sensed
bear
that was probably
news.
The case.
But I do think, which is, look, twice a week, maybe this is something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I found this refillable flosser on Amazon called the Toothbat Medium Dental Floss Holder. Of course, that's what it's called. The
Toothbat is a strange name. Yeah.
Okay. Medium Dental Floss Holder. What I love about Bronwyn's comment is it incorporates both of our loves.
Yeah, totally.
I thread my strawberry cocoa floss through it. She didn't want to choose teams.
She knows her audience. Yeah, she knows her audience and she knows what we're here for. Yeah.
It also gives you three sides of top floss so you can kind of alternate it through your mouth in whatever is the most comfortable way.
I got to see this thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, it must have like a triangle.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah, I got to see this thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to look it up.
You look it up while I read
the next one. I'm going to look it up.
Newsletter reader Jennifer wrote in with a tip about buying floss in bulk and storing it in a mason jar because then you fit the dental floss top into the lid of the jar and it looks cuter. Thank you, Jennifer, for that tip.
That's a good one.
That is a good tip. If only I flossed often enough to take advantage of it. And then this one is also a water pick related comment from Tracy. My dental hygienist recommended that I get a water pick. Great to hear that this is endorsed by a professional. And suggested that I store and use it in the shower. This is a total game changer. No need to make a mess on the countertop. To take things.
You weren't even concerned about making the mess on the countertop, which is
I've
interesting.
I've been hiding it whenever I've been concerned somebody might come into my bathroom because it's big.
Yeah.
And
so
I do, it's just not good looking.
Storing it in the shower is good.
Although I don't think she's referring to the mess of the thing itself. She's referring to the fact that the water like sprays everywhere.
That's what
is also a concern. To take things to the next level, she subsequently suggested filling the water pick with Colgate whitening rinse instead of water. Tracy, your dental hygienist is wild.
Why do you keep saying hygienist?
Hygienist.
Yeah. I'm usually the ones that
you
can't
are.
Say words.
You
but
are.
But hygienist. Interesting.
Because hygiene.
Yeah,
because
totally.
Dental hygiene.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's hygienist.
Yeah. Hygienist. Okay, so I have an update.
Uh-huh.
I know what the Toothbat looks like, and it is nothing like what I thought.
Oh, really?
Let me show you. It's like...
Oh, my God. It looks like a claw, like a bird claw.
Yeah, it does. Okay, so imagine a bird's foot, and imagine then threading dental cross... floss between its toes, and then that is what you're using.
Oh my God, and I love this woman's like, I have a tight jaw, but ma'am, you must have to open your mouth so wide
I think the thing is you can use any of the sides so you can approach it at different like angles.
Okay.
And you don't have to like squeeze your fingers in your mouth.
That is huge for me. And I will say that I had
what Bronwyn sees in this device. I just didn't expect it to be what it is.
No, the thing that I see in it, too, is that I mentioned I love those little dental things that look like swords because you don't have to wrap it around your thing.
Well, this is a dental thing with swords, but from like with three angles.
And eco-friendly because I hate
throw those things away. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's really crazy.
Yeah.
Keep your floss tips coming.
These were great.
These were surprisingly inspiring, I would say.
My only question with Tracy about the water pick in the shower is, does that mean that she is filling it up with hot water?
No, she's putting the Colgate whitening in it.
Oh, right. Okay.
She answered your question.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Never mind, Tracy. Don't bother writing in with a response.
Okay. should we talk about some other questions that people wrote in with?
Yes, ma'am, we should.
Let's get this out of the way first. The most frequent question that we got was people who wanted updated beauty and hair routines, which we will...
We heard you, and we will do this.
We will do that. Both of our hair has gotten a lot shorter since the last time we
did beauty routines. Has mine gotten a lot shorter?
Yeah, I saw a picture recently, and I was like, whoa.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember what it was from, but I was like, wow, that was post, like, Erica having shoulder-length hair, but it's still a lot longer than it was here.
Okay. That's interesting.
This is riveting conversation, by the way, I'm sure. And then we're also going to do an episode on morning routines, which is one of those things where we were like definitely had that idea one day in the subway.
We're like, that's too boring.
Yeah, but
nobody cares.
But I'm
six or so people said they cared. So
we're going to do a morning routine one.
So sorry to the rest of you.
We're not going to do it on this episode, though, because it feels like too long.
So instead on this episode, we're just doing a couple quick hit ones that we feel like we can tackle.
This first one is from Rachel, who's actually one of our designers. She used to make necklaces for us under the name Academy. She says, wedding planner and or marriage advice for someone getting hitched this summer. Could this be a whole episode? Well, one, it could. We think maybe it was. We think the answer is yes. Yeah. We're pretty sure we did a whole episode.
This is episode 120, and we're actually really bad at what's happening in episodes 1 through 40.
That's right. But either way, we definitely also both wrote about our weddings on Of a Kind, and we'll link to those.
But also, we got married a good while ago, and I feel like things have changed. Not like the entire culture, but I think our advice now, having been guests at a lot of weddings since, might be more helpful.
Yes.
No?
Yeah.
So we're not going to do a whole episode again, but we're going to share some tips. What do you got?
Mine are, okay, a couple that are like, one, yes, watching Friends, but also two, like what I wish I would have done differently. Yeah. I wish I had done pictures before the ceremony.
Yeah. Why?
Here's why. Because I did not want to miss a single second of my wedding, of the action afterwards. Like, I just wanted to see my friends and be dancing with them. And so the pictures, like, we didn't take a ton of them. I wish we had taken more, like, with, like, just group family shots and all that stuff. And in my mind, for whatever reason, I approached the entire concept of wedding photography as superfluous. I was like, I want good pictures, but I don't want, like...
Which is weird for you, too.
I know. I think because I just felt... I think for whatever reason, I zeroed in on that as being, like, a bridezilla quality. And I was like, I won't
do it. The photography?
Yeah. Or just, like... Or, like, spending a ton of time and money on it. I was just like, that is the pressure I won't succumb to. When in fact, yes, you're correct. I'm an extremely visual person. I love photography. And I wish I just said, we're going to do this for an hour before the ceremony. And the reason we didn't is because we had eliminated a lot of the mystery before the wedding. Like, Chris had seen my dress. And we hadn't done a lot of the romance stuff. So I was like, well, that'll be the one piece of romance is that Chris won't see me until I walk down the aisle. In retrospect, it would have just been more worthwhile to do the pictures beforehand.
And
just like do them all, like do all of the family formations and take the time and then just don't worry about it afterwards.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that was my one thing. And go ahead.
Something I had that was just swiped from our friend Lizzie Fortunato and her husband Peter, their wedding, that I thought was just a genius thing. And I feel like I'm going to see it like 10 times over the next couple years because I thought it was so smart. If people want to take the time to do this with their like hotel guest welcome situation,
this is so smart.
They had this little printout where they had the guide of what time everything was starting and what place to get brunch nearby. Right. On that same document on the backside, it had a list of guests that should seek out other guests at the wedding for what reason. And it was like, you and you both like grew up going to this like lobster shack in Maine. You guys should talk about it. You and you both have PhDs in like music. And it did these really funny pairings. We're like, you and you are the people most likely to have weed at the after party. It was so charming.
And it really did, I think, genuinely
spark conversations between people. It was like it provided the icebreaker.
It was really good. It's such a good thing for a destination wedding or something where like people are going to be together for a whole weekend, especially and have the time to meet each other. I loved that. I thought it was so charming.
I took a picture to send it to my friends who are getting married this summer.
That was good.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
So my number one piece of wedding advice that I actually did take to heart more or less myself was that it's not actually about you, which was the when Chris and I got engaged, I was like, or maybe even before we got engaged, I was sort of like on the fence about what I would want a wedding to be.
Yeah.
And Chris was like, no, I want a big, or not like a big wedding, but like a proper wedding. And yeah. Here's why. Because like a marriage requires so much community to support it. And the wedding is a chance for you to say like, hey, we're doing this. Will you support us? And for your community to say back to you, like, yes, we will. And that really spoke to me. And carrying that throughout the decision-making process really helped me, because it was like, if my parents wanted to invite people, it was like, yeah, this isn't just about me and like my show. This is about all of you too. And so like thinking a lot about what other people would want felt really natural to me, because I understood it as this thing like where we're all getting together and doing this thing. And you and I'm like, I'm asking a lot of these people to like not only come to the wedding, but to like support us through our marriage. Mm-hmm. And I think that really helped me to not get frustrated, because it was like, yeah, you want to bring so-and-so, okay, fine, whatever. That's my number one piece of advice.
I think something that you and I both really forced ourselves to do is that we decided what things we were going to focus on and did not put focus into the other things.
Yes,
like decided, like neither of us like went hard at flowers.
No.
I didn't have flowers at all. I had plants that I didn't have a traditional wedding either. I had like a wedding party, thing after, like a year after. But we like rented plants. We didn't do flowers at all. And you did really simple.
Just like peonies.
Cut peonies in little glass like bottles.
Yeah.
And that was something we both decided like that's not a priority for me at this thing. I'm not going to spend the time, the money, or just the headspace on that thing.
None of my wedding like questions or regrets, and not like I have a ton of regrets, but none of them have to do with like not doing more decoration
stuff
or trying harder. None of it has to do with having like, oh, I didn't try hard enough. And I didn't. It didn't take over my life.
Totally.
And I don't regret not trying harder.
Yeah.
I regret sometimes not having like more pictures. And I regret a couple people that like I regret not inviting more people because I was really worried about space. I think that's another thing like which speaks to this, like it's not about you. Like it's just like don't worry about the people
that you want to be there.
Like, 5 years later be like, man, I really wish you were at my wedding.
No, those are the things for me too that I'm just like glad I got to invite whoever I wanted to invite.
Yeah.
And I think there were certain things that I sacrificed that I thought at the time, like, oh, am I going to care about this? Like food.
Right.
The food at my wedding was like not what I would have chosen if I could have chosen from a massive list. But we chose a venue based on space. Mm-hmm. And there was a one caterer option. And you know what? Like,
no one remembers the food. It's like you like it in the time or you don't like it. But that's not the thing 5 years later.
No.
You're like, you know what?
And
the food
I care
was
about
so good.
Food. But like, no. And you know what? We got Dairy Queen ice cream cake and that makes up for everything.
That totally makes up for everything.
Yeah.
The next question, from our dear friend Kayleen, who has a lot of public appearances to make right now, said, how do you pump yourself up for public appearances when you're not feeling it?
One of our very favorite Mindy Kaling quotes in the world is, sometimes you just got to put on lip gloss and pretend to be psyched.
That's right.
And I feel like I have to apply that to a lot of things of just like walking into a meeting and being into a bad mood and being like, okay, like this is happening. I'm doing this right now. Or like waking up and going to a yoga class in the morning when I don't want to, of just being like, this is happening. This is happening.
Totally.
Like I can't stop the train. I don't, you know, that's not even the point. I don't even necessarily want to derail the train. Yeah. I just have to accept that this is reality. This is happening. And I'm just going to fake it until I get into a better mood.
That's it for me, is the faking it. For me, it's kind of the same as the wedding. It's not about you.
Yeah.
Like this is a performance. So actually how you feel doesn't matter at all.
No.
This is a performance. You're acting and you're just going to fake it.
Yeah. And I think if you can do that for a couple minutes, you can also get to yourself to the head place where
yourself.
You just feel better and you like are in a good mood and you feel better about the place that you're in.
Mr. Corral, my 8th grade history teacher, always said that if you will just smile long enough, you will trick yourself into being happy.
That's a nice quote.
Mr. Corral was great.
Yeah, he seems like a nice
guy. Yeah, that's like one of the few things I remember from that class, but it feels like the most important.
It truly does. The other thing we found really works, especially for photo shoots, is a shot of tequila.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
That relaxes the jaw.
I don't know.
It makes the smile feel more natural.
And depending on the style of public appearance, it could also be appropriate.
Totally. Yeah.
But I do think it's just, and music really helps me too. And everybody has their pump up songs. Recently, my pump up song was Secondhand News, Fleetwood Mac. I don't know why. Like nothing about the lyrics feel right, but
no.
It was just, it's just like a, it's got a good beat. It'll get you going.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, sure.
Is that, Alex, you feel good about that? Yeah, he loves it. He approves.
Suddenly perked up. He was like, wasn't listening to the whole episode, but then secondhand news from Fleetwood Mac was mentioned, and there he was. I don't know what my pump up song is right now.
I mean, it's always changing for me, but that one served me well for a good long while. And they also, I have a high turnover rate because they all then appear on my running mix and I get bored of them really quickly. But you have to just fake it. And really just be like, it doesn't matter that you're in a bad mood or that you're feeling whatever, because
leaning into that's not going to help anything.
Exactly. This isn't about you. It's about the people you're appearing for, and you got to be there for them.
Another question that we got.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make friends as an adult? This question came up from a couple people.
I was thinking about this, and maybe this is wrong, but I kind of feel like a lot of the same tactics that are used in dating are good for friends. So because I was like group dates.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's so much easier to be like, hey, like if you have a friend, and I think this is one way it's been easy for you and I to like make a lot of new friends is like we're always kind of together. We have this source of comfort, right? So like meeting a new person out for drinks doesn't feel like, oh my God, is this going to be so awkward? It's like,
is it going to be an hour and a half that just feels so weird?
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, and if you have another friend who you can rope into going on like a friend double date or group date, I think that that really helps make things easier and more natural.
Agreed.
And then the other thing that I think is like dating is just like kind of the thrill of putting yourself out there and asking the person on the date.
I think that's true too. And I think having that experience where you realize that this is also like dating. Mm-hmm. Again, we're two fools who haven't dated in way too long to be giving anything.
But I've been reading romance novels. Oh, so
you are an expert. I would say you're for sure an expert.
Yeah.
I think when you put yourself out there and you have a good friend date with someone, then it opens you up to the idea of more friend dates.
Exactly.
Even if that doesn't turn into some big, serious relationship, you just see the potential.
That's right.
And you realize that you could make friends as an adult.
I also just think, I haven't dated in a romantic way in a really long time, but it is that sense of like romance in the beginning when you're like, oh my God, we really like each other.
Yeah.
This is like, yeah.
We really like each other.
Yeah.
100%.
So I think just using those same sort of general tactics and also being okay if it doesn't work out. If you're like, that was like not that much fun, don't do it again.
It's an hour and a half of time or something. I mean, don't commit to, you know, don't commit to drinks and dinner. That's the other dating lesson. You just do one. You just do something small.
We've got another book in us, I'd say.
Yeah. How to make friends.
We're just going to like copy a dating book.
Yeah. We're just going to reprint. He's just not that into you and with a new title.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, do we want to do one more?
Sure. Let's do one more. We have some time. What do you want to do? I have a curveball one that I thought, it's not on our written list here, but I thought people wanted to know where we want to travel.
Oh, they did. Where's they want to know where we want to travel.
Yeah.
And they want to know where we're eating in Brooklyn. That was one.
Okay.
So maybe we can do both of those quickly.
Yeah.
Because I feel like.
Okay.
Where we want to travel. I have two really big trips planned this year.
You do.
Both around weddings.
Mm-hmm.
There are two trips I probably wouldn't take in the same year if I had control over when people were getting married. Turns out I don't.
Yeah.
So the first one, I'm going to Japan.
So exciting.
In August. I've never been.
Have you bought tickets yet?
No. I am so overwhelmed by the process.
Yeah.
I'm generally pretty good at just like pulling the trigger and being like, okay, I'm going to just like buy the tickets and then figure out the rest. It just feels so overwhelming as a concept to plan a Japan trip. I also feel like everybody who has ever been to Japan is like, I have a 12-page document I could send you to guide you through it.
I have that.
I know you did.
I could send you. I am willing to give you a VIP treatment and talk you through it. So you don't have to go through that document.
I would love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know we're going to go to Kyoto. That's where the wedding is.
Okay. That's exciting.
And obviously Tokyo.
Yeah.
And then I feel like something in between.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like Thomas would love Mount Fuji in that area.
It's true.
Like hiking and
that's true.
Yeah, the forests.
That's a good thought. Okay. All right. This is helpful.
Yeah.
And then my second is my brother and his fiance Caitlin's wedding in Tuscany.
Yeah.
And that is in November. So I think we're going to go to Rome and maybe just stay around Rome before.
I loved Rome when my brother got married in Italy, too.
It's, gosh, our brother's so much fancier than us.
That's so true. And I did a trip around Italy because he also got married in Tuscany and Florence.
Oh.
And Rome was the highlight for me and the other time. And Florence obviously is great, but I wished we had spent more of the time in Rome.
Thomas studied abroad in Rome, and I feel like just renting an apartment there for and just maybe taking little day trips or, you know, half day trips instead of trying to do too much else.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I have no trips planned. Well, that's not, I mean, I'm going to LA, which is like my...
LA's dreamy.
It's a great... No, I'm very happy to be going to LA.
I'm jealous you're going to LA.
I'm jealous of myself. I love going to LA. Yeah. It's just not so much of like a... we go and stay in a family home there, and it's lovely, but it's not like... it's more of like a chill at the house and like have nice dinners. If I travel... Chris and I have both been really wanting to go to the South, but the problem is, because I just have never done the South... The problem
is crazy to me.
I know, it's crazy. It's so easy. We always travel in the summer, and I have no desire to go in the summer. And it's just, we can never seem to get it together to go in the winter, the fall, or the spring. I don't know why.
I don't want to kick this to 2019.
Yeah.
But I think you could potentially go for your birthdays next year.
That's
If you don't make it happen this year. Because now is a really nice time of year.
Agreed. Agreed. I would love to be there right now. Listen, I tried.
Yeah, no.
The other place that has been on my list for a while is Norway. Yeah. I would really like to see the fjords.
Yeah.
That is very appealing to me. And then our friend Britt is in Nicaragua right now and making it look amazing.
She truly is.
On Instagram. And I've had a couple friends who've gone there. My friend Kyle met his wife there.
Oh, really?
So that bodes well.
Huh.
And it's
you
pretty
think you
expensive. I already have two spouses.
You want a third? You're going to get one in Nicaragua.
But people love Nicaragua. This Instagram situation is really making me want to go. And so I was like, well, maybe that's a this year trip because feels doable to me with all the other stuff going on, like a house.
Yeah.
I'm mostly traveling to my house.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Can we talk about like one or two restaurants that you're really excited about in Brooklyn these days?
I feel super blessed because we moved to a neighborhood that has three places that I feel great about going.
Tell me.
Golda. All day cafe. Can't wait until they open for dinner service. Amazing pastries. Amazing like Mediterranean inspired plates.
And like the nicest owner that there ever
is. Oh my gosh.
I think Chris and I think. Mm-hmm.
You have a little bit of a friendly competition going.
Yeah, well just... Chris made friends with the owner when they opened this restaurant. Yeah. Feels great about it. Danny's wonderful. I feel great about the fact that they're friends.
Yeah.
I made friends with Danny, and Danny made friends with everybody, by the way.
Yeah.
I made friends with Danny when he opened his other restaurant, Tilda, R.I.P. And Chris doesn't really understand or recognize that bond was there before.
Right. He doesn't acknowledge that. It's awkward.
No,
it's weird.
It's awkward.
Yeah, I understand.
It's awkward.
I hope you guys make it through this.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Should we ask Danny to choose?
Yeah. I think that's the only way to solve this problem.
I also, the number of people listening right now who also all think they're Danny's best friend.
I think this might be a rude awakening for a lot of people.
I think so too. The other place that is right next door to Golda is Hearts. Bon Appetit's best new restaurant of 2017.
No big deal.
No big deal. Similar to Golda, just feels easy.
Yeah.
Like it's just like you can't pop right in all the time because it's pretty popular, but it doesn't feel like a big to-do.
A whole thing.
And I like that about it. And I didn't have that in my old neighborhood where I live, just like an easy place that we could pop into. And lots of healthy options, which I love. They love anchovies. I love anchovies.
Same.
And then a place that does feel like a little bit more of a to-do, but is really good, is Otway, which is also in my neighborhood. And it's definitely a little pricier, and it's definitely a little fancier, and it's harder to eat healthy.
Owned by a woman chef.
Yes.
Like, very,
the most phenomenal bread. Oh, my God. I forgot to tell you, and I forgot to tell my dad. The first time we went there, which was pretty, like, early on in this restaurant's existence. My dad ordered a cheese plate and was really annoyed because it says cheese and seasonal things, and he just assumed that seasonal things included bread, and it didn't, and there was like a little bit of a thing. So when we're leaving, he felt it was his right to like take caramels from this like tray up front. He was like, everybody take a caramel, and we were all like, those are definitely for display, and he was like, no, take a caramel, like this is, you deserve a caramel, like
because you
get
didn't
bread.
Get bread.
We probably got bread, to be honest. I can't remember. It was such a weird moment that I'll never forget on my dad's behalf. We went back last weekend to Otway on a double date, and they had added a sign to that cart that says for display only.
Everybody was taking a caramel. Yeah, totally.
Where are you liking to eat?
My favorite new restaurant that I haven't been to nearly enough but think about all the time is Mimi's Diner, which diner feels like a bit of a misnomer, but they're like it, you know, it's part of its like sort of conceit. It is, the dinner is sort of like comfort foody, but in a cool way. So when I went, I had this egg salad that they served like lettuce wraps. It was delicious and wonderful.
So like P.F. Chang's chicken lettuce wraps, but egg salad.
Correct.
Into it.
They have like Green Goddess dressing on things. I haven't been for their brunch yet, but apparently their brunch is a real thing. Before you order, they have little like bowls of mixed junk food cereal.
I saw that and, on Instagram. Yeah, people are like Fruit Loops and
stuff.
Yeah,
it's like Fruit Loops and Lucky Charms and Cinnamon Toast Crunch, like all mixed together for you to snack on while you're ordering.
That sounds so good.
It is also queer owned. And yeah, they do like a queer industry night where they like invite people for free drinks and hanging out, which I love.
That's lovely.
Yeah, it's also just very cute and cozy in there. These restaurants are all within like six blocks of each other.
They really
it's
are.
It's not a guide to Brooklyn. It's not
no,
like
it's a guide to the Clinton Hill, Prospect Heights, like Bed-Stuy Triangle.
Yeah, Triangle. Exactly.
That's right. Is there anywhere else? I feel like you have some other places that you've been excited about. I'm like mostly asking for myself now.
I feel like that's the one that I think about all the time. It's the one I think about the most, for sure.
That's good. People can make their way through these four. We'll serve up some others soon.
Eventually. That about it?
Yeah, that's the show.
You can listen to us wherever podcasts are found, like Stitcher, iTunes. Leave us a review. We have some really good ones. I was reading them recently.
Really? They said, I haven't read them
stop
recently.
Stop saying totally so much was one piece of feedback. and now Spotify. Follow us at Of A Kind on Instagram and Twitter and like our Facebook page.
Totally.
If you have any ideas or requests for the show, email them to a few things at ofakind.com. To advertise on our podcast, email advertising at ofakind.com. Our intro music, Butterfield East, is written and performed by the Soulful Saints. Our audio editing is done by Liz Smith, and we record at Showbiz Studios in the East Village.
Bye. So many of you guys write in and ask about our theme song. It is called Butterfield East, and it is composed and performed by the Soulful Saints.
You can check them out over at dallarecords.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.